Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we are joined by Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak. And we got talking so much during the break, I completely forgot headphones. So Jimmy is so kind to get some headphones in here. Supervisor, welcome in.
Good morning.
Always great to talk with you and get your perspective. And now you were on with Susan and Brian on Friday discussing the proposed tax hike. How did we get to this point?
Right, it's something like this doesn't happen because of a single budget. This is a matter of several years of budgetary decisions here in town. Some of the big drivers in the cost increases for 2026 have to do with payroll. It has to do with labor contracts, and that is looking at the tune of well over $2 million. Then you have healthcare that's get factored into the mix. The town's healthcare obligations, we're looking at $1 million increase next year compared to this year. Then you have pension obligations, and we're looking at a bill of just over $1 million of an increase next year compared to this year. One of the other big drivers in the town's budget is our equipment. Over the past 6 years, we have made some investments in that. When I talk about that, that's like garbage trucks, think police cars, think heavy dumps for the highway department and the sewer department and some of their vehicles that we haven't put enough to keep the fleet up for our sanitation department and our highway department. We have an aging fleet of heavy equipment over in the highway department where we need to make some investments, and there's $600,000 or so in the 2026 budget to help with that. We have around $275,000 in the garbage district for a new sanitation packer, for a new garbage truck. And then a lot of the rest of those funds have to do with growing labor increases. When we pass labor contracts with 3.25% wage increases for all five of our unions, those increases compound on each other. And it's not just the wages themselves. It comes into the overtime. It comes into longevity pay. It comes into sick pay. It goes into all these different areas of the budget that are labor related. So with all those increases, you're looking, those major four major areas, the pension, the health care, the wages, the equipment, you're looking at about $6 million of new expenses. And that's why the budget is generating $5.5 million of new revenue to cover that. You know, we have reserve funds in town, and in our 2025 budget, they got, overall, those reserve funds got right down to our 15% minimum on our funds balance policy. You know, any municipality, they keep money on the side for emergencies, and their highway department, it's for snowstorms around here. And the other funds, it's to cover your payroll. It's to cover any other emergencies that'll come up. One case in point in our general fund was we had an opportunity to apply for $3 million of funding through New York State for a grant called New York Swims to make major renovations and improvements to our town park pool. We had to find $600,000 to match that grant. So we took that out of our reserve funds in the general fund to cover that difference. These are just some of the things that are leading to those cost increases. So when you have an opportunity to secure $3 million from New York, but you need $600,000 of your own money as a match, it's really hard not to take advantage of something like that, especially when you need new fencing and a pool, and you need to deal with the equipment in your pool, you need to think about security and all those other kind of things. And those are just a few of the major examples. If you look through this budget, you're going to see some of our contractual increases have actually gone down. Case in point is the Buffalo Sewer Authority. We had a major increase in our bills in 2024 that had us thinking about the 2025 budget to be prepared for major cost growth there. It didn't grow as much as we thought because that bill fluctuates. So we actually are able to provide the taxpayers some relief when it comes to that portion of the budget. But we have a need to replenish reserve funds or keep those at a healthy level. We have to meet our contract obligations. Just like everybody is at home, we're dealing with health care increases. We have pension obligations, and we have an aging fleet of vehicles and heavy equipment that we can't keep kicking down the road. You know, we've made some investments. In my opinion, they've been insufficient. So those are the things that have all been factored into this budget.
And it's a 7.5%.
We're looking at the tax increase overall between benefit basis and ad valorem is 7.59, yes.
All right, and that would be for the 2026 budget. Now, a lot of the stuff you mentioned there, you know, you talked about the equipment that needs to be replaced. Now, there's stuff there that is, you know, obviously long-term, right? Contracts, pensions, those things stick around. But for the new equipment, the new trucks and stuff, those seem like one-time cost. Do you think this is a permanent tax hike, or is there a time where this might be able to go back down when those things are replaced?
With our sanitation district, if we were purchasing one truck a year, or let's say two trucks every 3 years, to turn that over, we'd be getting about 20 years out of each truck. If these costs are built into the budget year after year, they wouldn't be hitting in quite the same way. And that's what I'm trying to do with our heavy equipment in this budget, is to build some of those costs into the budget and to do that on a regular basis into the future. If we don't make these investments now, they're going to compound on the back end to say, okay, we didn't purchase, let's say, single axle dump trucks or the equipment we need to plow the roads in the 26 budget or the 27 budget. It's going to hit even harder in 2028. Our highway superintendent and other folks can speak with more authority on this, but we've got a fleet of Sterling trucks where it's increasingly difficult to find parts, and they're not manufactured anymore. So at some point, we're going to lose the ability for the repairs and get right into replacement, and we have to plan for that because we're struggling for things like wiper motors and stuff like that. We can still find them now. It's going to get increasingly more difficult. And folks that are in the highway department space understand that stuff.
803-0930, star 930, if you want to talk with the supervisor. You can also send us a text on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. Now, looking at the tax base, has that gone down? Does that also play into this? Are there less people paying into taxes, be it residents or businesses?
Something we've seen in terms of the tax base is the Galleria Mall. You go back 15 years, their share of total taxes paid, not just in our general fund, but to our school districts, to our garbage fund, to some of these other districts, was substantially more in dollar terms than it is now. With the change in shopping, a lot of online shopping, things like that, the mall's value's gone down about 2/3 in terms of assessed value now compared to 15 years ago. And we absorbed a fair share of that from, let's say, around 2018 through COVID into 2020, 2022 with those declines. We're seeing things stabilize on the commercial side. There's obviously more we need to do as a town on that. But commercial's overbuilt, not just in Cheektowaga or Western New York, in the United States, North America, even Australia. So the change in tax base is a piece of this, but we absorbed a lot of that stuff in the past few years, and I'd say that's stabilizing a little bit. That's always going to shift back and forth. A lot of it at this point is just contractual obligations that are compounding.
Now, again, obviously pensions and stuff, these are things that were promised, but is there anything in there that could be cut if necessary when talking about those contracts that could be cut and would not have a negative effect?
We have minimum numbers in our union contracts with our employees. So if you're talking about the PBA, you're looking at 109. If you're talking about the blue and white collar workers union, the number is 223. Our supervisory union has got a minimum number of 19. So you have to maintain a minimum level of employment by contract. And we're not too far over those minimum numbers right now. So there's a little bit of wiggle room at the margins on those kind of things. The opportunities on the labor side to make cuts is more on your part-time labor. And the town of Cheektowaga is budgeting around $3 million for part-time labor right now. Our costs on that have gone up percentage-wise substantially since 2020. And we use our part-time labor in parks. We use it for our youth programming. We use it in our senior center. And our youth and our senior center, they're revenue generators as far as fees outside of the tax base. So if you're talking about cutting on the part-time side, you got to think about the revenue you're getting on the back end. Yes, you can cut 5, 7, 8 people, let's say. What's the impact that'll have on the revenue generation? Because if you cut X amount of salary and then you lose that revenue anyways, you didn't do anything on the budget and you made services worse off. I'm not saying that's going to happen necessarily, but those are the considerations you have to have. What do these part-timers do? How do they impact revenue generation? Because you can get the worst of both worlds if the goal is just to cut for the sake of cutting.
Now, you've also proposed a hotel tax that is expected to be signed by the governor. And when you think Cheektowaga, I mean, I think of across the street from the airport. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a ton of hotels there. What kind of income is expected from that tax?
So on the hotel bed tax, this is one of those things where why I like coming on a station like this, talking with you, listening to residents. This idea originated from a town employee, and then it made its way to the town board level. And then the town board found consensus around it. We asked our state legislators to act on it. It became a bill that is sitting on the governor's desk for signature right now. I expect her to sign it, and when she does, the hotel bed tax would allow the town of Cheektowaga to collect revenue from each of the hotel bedrooms that are throughout the town. You go up Genesee Street, there's about a dozen hotels there alone. They have a handful of others. Revenue-wise, we're looking at, it's hard to guesstimate, somewhere around $1 to $2 million. I'm gonna call it 1.5 if we generate the revenue that we think we will. And you can look at county, the kind of money that they're bringing in. That's gonna help us with the money we need for the general fund. But the legislation as it's written would also require us to earmark money to two areas, a fund for heavy equipment and vehicles and a fund for capital for like our buildings. Think of it like that. If you need to replace a door, for example, or if you need to do masonry work or something's wrong with the foundation in a building, you have a roof issue, all those kind of things, we'd be able to draw up that portion of the hotel bed tax revenue to pay for that. In my budget, I forecast those revenues as $1. And that's the responsible thing to do because anything besides that is speculating. Let's say we do think we're going to get $1.5 million. What if we get $500,000? What if we underperform? Then we have a budget hole. And you've heard stories about budget holes in other municipalities throughout Western New York. The last thing I want to do is create a budget hole in a budget that I'm proposing to the town board.
And again, we're expecting the governor to pass that. It just needs her signature.
Correct. It's sitting on the desk, and you know we have a situation in Cheektowaga with a Republican board majority. We have a Republican assemblyman, Democrat state senator. Obviously, I'm on the Democratic side. We all agree on this, and I think the governor is going to see there's consensus among elected officials on a bipartisan basis for something like this. And I anticipate her to sign it.
803-0930, star 930. The supervisor is here to take your calls. And we'll start with Gary, who is in Cheektowaga. Gary, you're on with Brian Nowak.
Hi, supervisor. You probably know me, and you know I didn't support you for your election as supervisor. But since then, I've come to believe we dodged a bullet. My question for you is this. Your proposal, and you know we have lots of crime increasing in Cheektowaga, and need for police services. Your budget proposes an increase in the amount for the police department. The town board passed a resolution requiring a 1% reduction from the 2025 amounts. To achieve that, they would have to remove about $940,000 from your proposed budget from the police department. I know you don't want to do that, but my question for you is that possible? can it be done?
A short answer is we have a part-time budget line for the police department at the tune of about $930,000. And that part-time labor there, there's a lot of critical labor there. So that would be one of my first go-tos for it, and I don't think that's the answer. In short, compared to the expenditures, no, I don't think it's possible. If you cut the appropriations in 2026, 1% compared to 2025, I believe it's possible mathematically, but it doesn't cut the actual expenditures for one. And for two, it means that that budget will return less to our general fund, and it would delay decisions we have to make budget-wise into the 2027-2028 budget years.
Thank you, Gary, for the call. Going into this budget, the way it sits now, you know, we hear so much on the county level about the emergency fund and all that. What is Cheektowaga's situation like right now on extra on-hand money?
Right now, we're in a good position because, despite the forecast this year, we have spent much less of our emergency funds than anticipated. The town board in 2012, before I got involved, passed a resolution through leaning on GASB accounting standards that sets a fund balance minimum of 15% for each of our funds. Our general fund was forecasted to be around 14.5% at the end of this year. I know that it won't be because we didn't have to rely as much on those reserve funds as we expected. And when you look at certain lines in the budget, we make an appropriations forecast that we're going to spend X amount. We put a little bit of a buffer in just in case of an emergency coming up. Let's say overtime payroll. If you look at our budgets, our overtime has consistently exceeded the budgeted amounts since 2020. On the flip side, our regular payroll has consistently come in under. So not only does it wash, you don't spend all of the funds and you're returning some of those to the emergency funds.
803-0930, *930. Supervisor, are you good for the next segment? All right. We'll be back. We have Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak. If you have a question, 803-0930, *930. You can text it in as well at 803-0930. We'll read some of those texts when we come back. And, you know, the big news about the Boulevard Mall today, the supervisor knows about the Galleria. He's already mentioned it once. I want to get his thoughts on what does that property look like 10, 15 years down the road. It's Beamer in for Bella Villa with Supervisor Brian Nowak after this on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed's sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in for David Bellavia today on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't worry, David will be back tomorrow, and I will be back in my place at 1 o'clock. I believe today at 1, it is the financial guys filling in for me, and then Bowerly is here. So that is your lineup, and obviously, Buffalo's Evening News with Tom Puckett. Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak is here, and Supervisor, I have to say, last time Culpa was here, I accidentally called him Nowak. So far, so good. I have not slept.
Knock on wood.
803-0930, star 930. He is taking your calls, taking your texts as well on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Donna in Cheektowaga will kick off this segment. Donna, you're on with the supervisor.
Hello, Mr. Nowak. My question is, why are all of these smoke shops everywhere? I mean, down Union Road, you could probably count 12 of them. It's not like everybody's running to them to buy their stuff, but I don't understand why there's so many in our area.
It's a good question. The answer, long and short, is so far the market will bear it. You know, I live off of Harlem Road, and you got a bunch of them going up north and south on Harlem Road. There's two big factors at play that where they just come up, that the state regulates what folks can sell in these buildings, and the town has got a zoning map where as long as the zoning's proper and they and these smoke shops have the permission to sell the product that they are, they can open up without coming before the town board. If we're talking about cannabis shops as opposed to the smoke shops, the town board gets prior notification. And even in those cases, as long as the state gives the go-ahead to the business operator and the zoning is proper, you'll see those cannabis shops open up. And sometimes the only notification the town board gets is that the particular operator applied for a license. They don't come before us for a site plan or a rezoning or an environmental review. All the pieces line up for these folks, and if they have the capital to start the business and the legal permissions to operate on the property, they crop up.
Now, those cannabis shops, what kind of tax revenue does the town see from something like that?
We have received roughly $200,000 so far this year in cannabis tax revenue. I don't know the exact number that we have forecasted in the 2026 town budget, but that's year to date. We still have all the revenue coming in on that. It's hard to, you know, it's not as much as, let's say, a lot of folks anticipated that would come in. But you've seen other municipalities say that they don't want these shops in their towns. So it's kind of the people that want to operate, it's kind of forced them into places like the city of Buffalo, town of Cheektowaga, and a couple other select municipalities. We've got about a half dozen operating right now.
You know, I look at those and obviously, hey, I want all local business to be successful. I want people who want to be business owners to be successful business owners. But you look at that and think, how sustainable is having this many so many years down the road? You know what I mean?
It's something that you're going to see a few more, in my opinion, open up, and then the market is going to force some of them out of business. It's wild to see how much revenue the first and the second ones were generating. And these shops are pretty secure. Like, if you go into a liquor store or other places that are age appropriate, they greet you and say, hey, how are you today? And then they check your ID at the counter. You go into these cannabis shops, usually the refrain is, hey, can I see your ID? And then they'll say good morning and all that.
Right.
But it's just a matter of the legal market still being relatively new in New York, and competition is going to force some of these folks to make hard choices.
Now, let's go back to the mall. So today we heard the Boulevard Mall is changing ownerships to Benderson, but that the supervisor believes that plan for Town Center is still on. I have some questions about that. That'll be my next segment. But you've got the Galleria. And still, I mean, out of all the malls in Western Europe, the Galleria is the mall. I mean, it's still a lot of eating options, a lot of retail options. But, I mean, you drive by and you can't help but notice that the Lord & Taylor building is still quite empty. And that's a big piece of the mall. Where do you see that in 10 to 15 years? And what would the best option be when we're talking taxes, we're talking revenue for the town of Cheektowaga?
The conversation is a little bit different than it would have been, let's say, 10 years ago when a few of these other malls were open and operating. In a lot of ways, the Gallery is the last mall standing, and its occupancy is well above 80%, close to 90%. We have still got anchor stores. You know, there were talks about Macy's stores closing this year. The Galleria Mall's Macy's store was not on that list. The Dick's store that's in sporting goods inside of the Galleria is one of the best operating stores in the Dick's sporting goods chain. Primark has come in as an anchor store. Is it Sears? I mean, Sears was like the retailer of America. So you're not going to replace that with anybody, but Primark's doing pretty good. You've got new businesses cycling in. Yeah, you have some folks leaving, but there was a new restaurant in the food court announced recently. The Buffalo store expanded their footprint just a couple weeks back. They did a ribbon cutting on that. So for a mall, it's doing pretty darn good. 5-10 years from now, I think you're going to see more of these malls going into residential type things. You're going to see them doing the town center type thing, maybe the health clinic deal that goes on. Like you get the idea. But as far as the Galleria, you know, it is located on Interstate 90, and you know it's right in an area where a lot of Canadian shoppers can still come over and do that. Yeah, online shopping is going to change it, but a town with an airport, railways, and a major highway, one of the natural fits may be warehousing for something like that if there's opposition to a residential approach. But you know, my take is we have a free market. The free market is supporting the mall still, and if the answer from the customers is we're going to keep coming here and shopping at the largest indoor retail center in Western New York, that's what it's going to be until the owners of that property are thinking, we've got to think the next step ahead. One of the things I've been working on with my town planner and board members has been to update the zoning for this area. So that way, the owners of the property, when they have to make a pivot or go to a different direction, have more flexibility on keeping that property on the tax rolls and making it a productive property for tax purposes to support our residents.
Yeah, you know, it is strange to see the shopping landscape. I mean, it seems like people now, if you're going to go shop in person, they're all going back to plazas. With that said, the Galleria is the last standing mall, except for the outlets up in the falls. Yeah. And I'm sure there's been a benefit from there. I mean, it's the only place that you can go see Santa in a mall in Western New York that's left. So, I, for one, enjoy when I have to shop. I don't like to buy clothes online. I like to buy them in person so I can see if they fit before I purchase them. So I'm rooting for the mall, and I'd love to see something go in that Lord & Taylor. But I'm sure, like you said, there's some of that looking to the what ifs.
I think there's thoughts in discussions about what that space can be used for. It's such a large space, and you're going to have limited tenants there. So it's going to take some time to find someone that could be a good fit. My hope is that in the near future, and I don't want to say the next month or two or the next year or so, but in the near future, that match gets made and somebody gets brought in to fill that space. But if you take Lord & Taylor out of that mix, the occupancy rate is 90% for the mall. And if you look at other malls across New York and the country, that's pretty good by comparison.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And the Putt-Putt place, I just have to give them a shout out. I went there a few months ago. Awesome. I love Putt-Putt. I don't think we have enough Putt-Putt in Western New York, so I'm glad to see that up and running and people are going. On the text board, Supervisor, someone's asking about crime. Obviously, it's been a topic in the Buffalo mayoral election right over the border in Cheektowaga. What is the crime in Cheektowaga, in your opinion?
I think you got a situation where...
The crime rate, I should say.
The crime rate. They got a situation, let's you take these car poppings and car thefts over the last several years, they have without a doubt increased. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head. When it comes into some of the major stuff, you have folks that that may not be reporting incidents that happened to them, and that can skew the data. But you look at the FBI data going back to the early 90s till now, you've seen a decline in violent crime that has been reported. But when you look at these issues with vehicle thefts and stuff like that, just a marked increase. And part of that you deal with the auto manufacturers and technology. Part of it you deal with telling folks to keep the keys out of their center consoles and lock their cars. But another piece of the pie is that you got young people, you need to give them something to do. And when when they are doing this over and over again, they have to be held accountable.
Would you, so obviously this has come up, and Raise the Age has come up, and Albany mayor, a Democrat, has said the assembly needs to revisit Raise the Age. This has not become a party thing. This is a thing where you've got elected Democrats at a town or city level saying one thing, and then Albany getting pushback. You, as a supervisor, you see this from the supervisor role. Raise the Age, is that something that you think needs to be revisited?
If we're doing a blanket revision of Raise the Age, I personally don't see that as the answer. If we're reforming the law that was passed, if we're amending it to, let's say, go back to the old school way of doing things for crimes like these vehicle thefts, that's an answer to this. I mean, it's just, you can't have a spot where the same kid, or the same group of kids are getting appearance tickets for stealing cars over and over and not being held accountable for that. And putting folks in the family court system is a difficult thing, because if you ask the folks that know the system well and deal with it regularly, it's got its challenges. And that's not going to be the solution to disincentivize all of this car theft. There's no single thing that's going to do it, but part of the answer is, if you get caught stealing a car a second time, it's you had your chance. If you catch someone the first time and you want to deal with that in a way to call that person and say, don't do this again, they do it a second time, there need to be tools on the books to hold them accountable. So when it comes to vehicle theft specifically, there's changes that could be made on Raise the Age.
Now let's mend these last two things together, crime and the Galleria, because every time there's some incident at the Galleria, it's front page news, right? I mean, it's the top story. Do you think that has affected shopping at the Galleria Mall, and what can or has the town done to make sure that's not a problem?
I think part of what's happened here is that when incidents happen, years ago, people were aware of them, and you might read them in the B blotter, and that would be it. Now you're seeing videos on social media about what's going on there. So it's not like this stuff was never happening, and it's not like it's gotten to a place where it's totally out of control. There obviously are incidents and things. You have folks like the off-duty officers along with the Cheektowaga Police Department, which Pyramid pays the mall to support the cost of our police department to help patrol and keep order in the mall. So that's something we've already been doing. We can obviously have discussions and maybe do a little bit more than that. The Fathers Group has been in the past and has helped over the years with holding order in the mall, and there's other opportunities like that. But we have the means, and we've done things to show what works and what doesn't. So it's just a matter of going to that and doing more of the things that work.
Now, you talked in the first segment about the highway department and some of the equipment that needs to be updated. Obviously, winter is right around the corner. You wouldn't know that today, but winter is right around the corner. How is Cheektowaga prepared for snow? Is that a big question mark? Is there anything lacking that needs to be replaced when it comes to snow removal?
We have to make regular investments in the equipment. But one of the challenges we have, and a lot of municipalities have this, are operators. That you have folks that bid into different departments that are more experienced, that have seen the Christmas blizzard of 22, or are familiar with operating heavy equipment in zero visibility. Just like police departments are getting greener with a younger police force, our highway department is getting greener with a younger force in some respects. So they just got to get some experience and work under their belt. We got great people there that have demonstrated over the years they've done a great job, especially when stuff hits the fan and you're counting on them to clear the roads and make sure that police, fire, EMS can get out and take care of emergencies. They're right there. They're doing their thing. But This coming winter, we're going to have some folks getting their hours under their belt, so to speak, in a way that we haven't previously.
During the Christmas blizzard, we learned about the what the county does for at certain levels. Obviously, we saw the county executive and the mayor have a back and forth. Does the county and Cheektowaga, do they work together for snow removal, or is that all on Cheektowaga?
Town of Cheektowaga and the county have an agreement where the town plows county roads. So there's coordination built in, whether it's 2 inches of snow on the ground or 2 feet. My short experience as supervisor, 3 weeks in, we had a nice storm. So I work closely with the county executive, county emergency management, obviously our town folks, to make sure that we were getting the assets that we needed, getting regular updates on what was happening with weather and what to expect. So in my time as supervisor, there's been cooperation. I know that's an issue in other places, or maybe with people that have come before me, but I'm willing to talk to anybody.
Now, the budget that you have proposed, what's the next steps of this when it comes to the board and passing?
The town board is holding 2 days of budget hearings on October 9th and October 10th. That is next Thursday, next Friday. Both days will begin at 9 a.m. Those budget hearings are open to the public, and they'll be at Cheektowaga Town Hall. And they will be live streamed on YouTube for folks that can't get there and would like to see discussions about these things from home. The purpose of them is just to get the board more familiar with the budget, get an opportunity to speak with our department heads about requests they made and requests I might not have honored in those budgets. After that, and you know, as I said, there's a Republican majority. I'm on the other side of the aisle. I do not expect the budget as I drafted to pass. No way. It isn't going to happen. But the discussion is going to be about whether or not the town exceeds the tax cap. When you have $2.5 million of new obligations on the wage side, $1 million on health care, an additional $1 million on pension, and then you have equipment needs and other things in that budget, I think it's pretty difficult when the wage, Social Security, part-time wages on payroll alone force the tax cap conversation that I don't know if you get through a budget avoiding a tax cap increase without either draining down your reserves or kicking this problem to 2027 or 2028.
Do you see where there could be a compromise? I know I'll have to have a Republican on to counter that, but what do you expect as a compromise? Do you think there can be somewhere between no increase and what you've proposed?
There will be a compromise. As I said, my budget, as I drafted and put in front of them, will not become the budget. But that's the starting point of conversations, and then we have to talk about some of these equipment purchases. And I'll give you a couple examples. We have a little room in our reserve funds, especially in the general fund, where we might be able to use a little bit more of that fund balance to reduce the tax levy increase. If that idea is brought to me, I'm totally on board. Last year, I talked about making tough cuts in our beach and pools budget for the town pools. There was bipartisan opposition on my board to that. They overruled that portion of the budget. They actually put the money back that I was saying maybe we should cut for 2025. I think there's some compromise opportunities within Parks, Rec, Senior Services. One of the things that are informing next year's budget is bonding. And the town board has wanted to fund projects on a cash basis rather than borrowing. I can understand that thought. But if there's a change of heart on certain aspects of that, maybe borrowing a little bit to cover sewers that are going to last 50 years, that might lessen the burden on the highway budget. You can look in some of these lines like medical care. I've been a little more aggressive on forecasting revenues and saying we don't need to put as much of a buffer in for covering our medical costs. But arguably, you can cut some of these buffers just a little bit to lessen the tax increase now. But lowering the appropriations doesn't mean the spending will necessarily go down. We have to have conversations about budget cuts we might want to have. What can we do in our sanitation department with yard waste? What can we do with youth, rec, and seniors? Are there other services that this board is willing to say, we don't want to do that anymore, we're going to sunset out of it? Another budget thing, real quick, has to do with our sanitation department. We have we run our own sanitation department. We pay to dump, and waste management takes care of the garbage from the dump site, the tipping site, on to the landfill. We have to renegotiate that contract this year. When we renegotiated recycling, that added significant cost to our budget. I don't think it's going to be as bad with renegotiating that, but that's going to add to our cost in the garbage budget.
Now, this is something I pressed Democrats in the legislature on, so I have to do the same here. What is the argument to borrow instead of use cash on hand?
Depends what you're borrowing for. It's good debt and bad debt. If you charge your credit card 30% at home for a bag of Laffy Taffys, that's an act of madness. But if you borrow money at 4% to buy a house, that's arguably good debt, right? So if we're borrowing money to cover payroll, no. If you're borrowing money to buy a garbage truck or a heavy dump, you're leaning towards okay, but you really should fund that cash in the budget. Now, if you're borrowing for fixing sewers that my grandkids are going to benefit from that are going to last you 50 years, maybe the future taxpayer should bear some of those costs, and you shouldn't dump it on today's taxpayers. There's two sides to that debt coin. So it all depends on what you're borrowing for. If you're fixing sewers and you're doing roads, okay, that makes sense. But if you're funding recurring expenses, you should be doing that on a cash basis.
Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak almost did it. Brian
Nowak. Caught it.
And I have to say this. I say this all the time, and I hate to sound like a broken record. We might not agree politically, but I always appreciate your time here and how forward you are with your constituents. I put something about a building on Union Road. 3 minutes later, you had commented on Facebook a description of why it's there and all this stuff. And you don't get that from a lot of either mayors or supervisors. So I think I speak forever when I say I appreciate that.
Thanks. I got to get here when David's here.
We will make that happen. I promise. Supervisor Brian Nowak, thank you so much for the last hour. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will be back. When we come back, we're going to talk the Boulevard Mall. We talked to the Galleria Mall with him. We'll talk the Boulevard Mall and why I don't think we'll ever see the plan they're proposing. It's Beamer in for Bellavia on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.